Hey everyone, welcome back. We're going to do a deep dive today on the life of Abraham. We've got some excerpts from Dr. Elaine Phillips's Old Testament lectures, and this is really a story that's got a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah. You know?
It's about faith. It's about family drama. It's about choices that you might even ask yourself, like, what would I do in that situation?
It's amazing how the story of Abraham is still so relevant. You know, we're talking about somebody who lived thousands of years ago, but his struggles with faith, family, and making difficult choices are ones that we can all relate to even today.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just kind of kick things off here with the foundation of Abraham's story, and that's God's covenant with him.
Right.
And Dr. Phillips explains, you know, that covenant translates from the Hebrew word brit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a casual handshake agreement, right?
Yeah.
It's a legally binding contract.
Yeah.
With some major obligations for both sides.
And what's really interesting here is that God actually takes on the responsibility for fulfilling the covenant.
Oh.
And this is a foreshadowing of Jesus, you know, taking on the burden of humanity's shortcomings. And it's a promise with huge implications.
Yeah, that's a really powerful point.
I mean,
it makes you think about the weight of God's commitment to us. You know,
right.
It's not just a verbal promise. It's like this serious agreement.
Exactly. And they even had a very visual ritual for this covenant. They would, they called it cutting the covenant.
Okay.
And it involved animal sacrifice, which was a powerful image back then. And basically saying, you know, this is serious business and there are consequences if we break this agreement.
Wow. That's intense.
Right.
It definitely puts signing on the dotted line in a whole new perspective for me.
Right. And Dr. Phillips points out that these Old Testament narratives, they actually have layers of meaning.
Oh.
You know, they teach us about God's character, about his chosen people, and about individuals who grapple with their faith and imperfections.
Okay, so let's unpack a little bit of those promises to Abraham.
Oh.
He was told to leave his home, become the father of a great nation, and receive a specific land. And we're talking about places like Hur and Shechem, Bethel, Hebron, Beersheba, and the Negev.
Right.
And these are areas that still hold a lot of religious and political significance, even to this day.
You know, and you bring up a really good point. The land promise, even thousands of years later, is still a source of tension, you know?
Yes.
And it really shows us how interpreting ancient texts can actually impact our world today.
Absolutely. So we have Abraham, who is told to do all this, and he's portrayed as a man of faith, right? He trusts God, even though he's old. Circumstances seem impossible. And let's be real, he had doubts, just like any of us would have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he even questions God, saying, like, how can I be sure about all this?
I find that question so relatable because, you know, true faith isn't about blind obedience. It's about engaging with God, wrestling with those difficult questions, and seeking understanding. It's okay to have doubts.
Absolutely. Now, there's this episode where Abraham kind of bends the truth a little bit about Sarah being his wife, saying that she's his sister in order to protect himself. And this might make some people uncomfortable.
Right.
So let's break this down a little bit.
The traditional view is that he compromised morally. You know?
Okay.
But Dr. Phillips raises some interesting points against that, you know, God punishes the rulers who took Sarah,
right,
not Abraham. And later, Abraham is actually praised for being morally upright.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also thinking, like, in those ancient cultures, you know, a man just wouldn't offer his wife to another man. It would have been, like, unthinkable.
Right.
So what's the real story here?
Dr. Phillips suggests that Abraham might have been using a custom of sister adoption strategically from the Hurrian culture. And this was a way to protect their marriage, you know, from these power-hungry rulers who wanted to increase their wealth and status through advantageous marriages.
Ah, so it's like a legal loophole to kind of deter these rulers.
Exactly. And you think about Sarah's name, it means princess. So she would have been a prime target for these rulers. But what Abraham didn't expect was that they would break the custom and abduct Sarah.
So he was trying to play by the rules, but these guys went rogue.
Right. And it's also interesting to think about how this episode connects to the Israelites leaving Egypt with riches.
Oh,
you know, after centuries of hardship, it's like a historical echo.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Connects Abraham's personal experience to this larger narrative of the chosen people.
Right.
And while we're on the topic of these interesting connections, there's this character, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who blesses Abraham.
Right.
Who is this guy and why is he important?
Melchizedek is a very intriguing figure. His name literally means King of Righteousness.
Right.
And he's a priest of God Most High. And you know, he actually foreshadows Jesus as our high priest.
Oh.
Something that's highlighted in Psalm 110 and the book of Hebrews and Salem. Well, that's another name for Zion, which eventually becomes Jerusalem.
Right.
So you have all these theological and historical layers that are woven together.
I never knew all of that about Melchizedek. It's amazing how these seemingly small details can be so significant.
It really is. And then, of course, we have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, Lot's not so great choice in real estate, and the whole situation with Hagar and Ishmael.
It's a lot to unpack. What stands out to you from all of that?
You know, it's just a reminder that even people chosen by God experience, you know, the messiness of life and relationships and making those tough choices.
Right. True. And Dr. Phillips emphasizes that the sin that was condemned in Sodom wasn't just about homosexuality. It was this all-encompassing wickedness.
Right.
Right. And even Lot, who was considered righteous, wasn't immune to the moral corruption.
You know, that's a great observation. It's a stark picture of human weakness, but it also reminds us to have compassion.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our flaws. We make mistakes. And those who are struggling, you know, need our support, not our judgment.
Yeah, I love that perspective. That's a good reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
Now we're about to dive into the most challenging part of Abraham's story, and that's the binding of Isaac. And it's a tough one, but it raises some really important questions about faith and trust.
It does. Get ready for a roller coaster of emotions, because this one will really make you think. Okay, so we're talking about the binding of Isaac. This is where things get really intense. God tells Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, the one he waited so long for, on Mount Moriah.
And to make it even more unsettling, that's the same spot where the temple in Jerusalem is later built.
Right.
This command from God is some heavy stuff. I mean, it really makes you question everything you thought you knew about God and faith.
You're absolutely right. How can a loving God ask for such a thing? And how could Abraham even fathom going through with it, especially after God promised him descendants through Isaac?
Yeah, right.
You know, this story isn't meant to be easy to digest. It's supposed to make us uncomfortable and challenge our understanding.
I know. It's like, where do you even begin to process something like that? It's hard to even imagine being in Abraham's shoes.
It is, but what strikes me is that Abraham doesn't argue with God. He doesn't beg or try to negotiate. He just obeys, you know?
Yeah.
It's an incredible display of faith, almost beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
The book of Hebrews even suggests that Abraham believed God could raise Isaac from the dead.
Wow.
That he trusted that God would fulfill his promise, even if it meant bringing Isaac back to life.
So he's not just blindly following orders. He's actually thinking it through and believing in God's power, even when it seems to contradict everything else.
Exactly. And just when Abraham is about to make this unthinkable sacrifice, a ram appears caught in a thicket.
Oh, wow.
And the ram becomes the substitute, sparing Isaac's life.
What a relief. But it also carries a lot of symbolic weight, right?
It does.
Dr. Phillips connects this ram to Deuteronomy 21.23, which talks about those hung on a tree being under God's curse.
Right.
And this foreshadows Jesus, who takes that curse upon himself on the cross, becoming the ultimate sacrifice.
That connection is so powerful. And, you know, the parallels between Isaac and Jesus are pretty amazing. Both are only beloved sons. Both carry the wood for their sacrifice. Both stories point to God's incredible love and provision, even when things seem hopeless.
Yeah, it's like these echoes throughout the Bible, connecting the dots between these events and their deeper meaning.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And Dr. Phillips mentions another interpretation of the binding of Isaac, one that's not as well known in some Jewish traditions. Isaac is actually sacrificed and then resurrected by God.
Wow.
It's a thought-provoking concept, potentially a response to the Christian belief in Jesus's resurrection.
That's really interesting. It shows how different faith traditions can find meaning and relevance in these ancient stories, even if they interpret them in different ways.
It really highlights the enduring power of these narratives to spark conversation and make us reconsider our assumptions about God and faith.
So we've covered the covenant, the trials, and this incredibly difficult near sacrifice. Where does all of this leave Abraham, and what does it mean for us grappling with this story thousands of years later?
Those are the big questions, aren't they? Abraham comes out of this experience with his faith seemingly stronger, his relationship with God even deeper. But it leaves us wrestling with some pretty unsettling thoughts. What does it really mean to have faith, to trust a God who sometimes asks the impossible, even something that seems cruel?
Right.
What does this story say about sacrifice, both human and divine?
It's definitely not a story that gives us those easy answers.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more like it's forcing us to confront the complexities of faith, the mysteries of God's plan, and the messy reality of trying to live a life of devotion.
You hit the nail on the head. The power of Abraham's journey isn't in giving us those neat and tidy resolutions, but in making us wrestle with these fundamental questions about what it means to be human and to have a relationship with God.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk about this for hours.
Me too.
So much to think about. What would you say are the key takeaways from this deep dive into Abraham's story? Anything that really stands out to you?
For me, it's that idea of the covenant, that binding agreement between God and humanity that keeps coming up. Abraham's story isn't just about him. It's about the foundation of a relationship that shapes the entire biblical narrative.
And it's a relationship that's built on faith, a faith that's constantly being tested and refined through all these challenges and triumphs. And Abraham's willingness to trust God, even when things seem impossible, is a powerful reminder for all of us, you know, as we deal with our own doubts and uncertainties.
Absolutely. And let's not forget about sacrifice. The near sacrifice of Isaac foreshadows Jesus's ultimate sacrifice, showing how far God is willing to go to redeem humanity.
Right.
It makes us consider the cost of love, the weight of obedience, and the enduring power of hope.
So after going through all of this, what can we take away from Abraham's journey and apply to our own lives today?
That's a great question. Here's a thought. If you were in Abraham's shoes, how would you have responded to God's commands? Imagine being asked to leave everything you know, your home, your family, to follow a promise that seems impossible. Imagine being asked to sacrifice what's most precious to you. Would you have the courage to trust, to obey, to believe that God would provide?
Yeah, that is a really powerful question to sit with. It really does challenge you to think about what faith means on a personal level. You know, it's easy to read these stories from a distance, but when you put yourself in Abraham's sandals, it hits differently.
It does. And I think that's the point. You know, it's not about judging Abraham or trying to figure out if he made the right choices. It's about using his story as a mirror to reflect on our own faith, our own relationship with God, and how we navigate the complexities of life.
I love that. It's like Abraham's journey becomes this framework for us to kind of explore those big questions about trust, obedience, and what it means to live a life of faith, even when things get tough.
Exactly. And, you know, this deep dive has only scratched the surface of Abraham's story. There's so much more to uncover in the biblical narrative.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like every time we peel back a layer, there's another layer underneath full of fascinating details and insights.
It's a journey of discovery, and I encourage you to continue exploring it. There are so many other captivating figures and events in the Bible just waiting to be explored.
Well, I know what I'm doing with my free time now. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into Abraham's life. It's been truly enlightening, and I'm walking away with a lot to ponder.
It's been my pleasure. I always find something new to appreciate in these stories, and I hope you do too.
Until next time, keep diving deep and keep those questions coming.